9:40, hopefully a Mavs crosstalk with a KMC masterpiece. Bassick will decide. They're at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie. Right now here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby, the guest list continues. And he's been cool enough to join us yet again on the FanCam, Twitch, and Zoom. San Francisco Insider heading into year number 30. Ooh. Matt Maiocco from NBC here on the Home of the Cowboys. Good morning, man. Thank you for being the only writer or media person willing to wake up this early in California with us.
Is that so? I was the last pick.
No, you were the first. You were the first.
You're actually the first.
I was Brock Purdy. Is that what you're saying?
You know, speaking of, what a segue by you. What are the fans saying about re-signing him? Mike Tirico just threw out like a Daniel Jones type deal, and I'm like, I don't think he's going to go ahead and take that. What do the fans want to do with Brock Purdy's future?
Well, I mean, up until, I guess, Sunday against Kansas City, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that he was going to get something very significant. Let's put it this way. Right now, he's, I believe, the 86th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He's like the 54th highest paid player on the 49ers. He's going to jump up significantly. And so, you know, he's not going to get the $60 million of Dak Prescott. But, I mean, I would think, you know, somewhere in that $45 to $55 million range. Now the season has to play out and we have to see, you know, how it transpires. If the 49ers make the playoffs, how far the 49ers go in the playoffs. But when you look at some of the quarterbacks who are up in that $50 million range, you know, they don't have the postseason success that Brock Purdy has had in a very short period of time. You know, they don't have the accolades that Brock Purdy has achieved in his very short time as a quarterback. So, I mean, the 49ers are prepared to pay him. It's just a matter of, you know, what exactly that number is. You know, is it 40, 45, 50? I don't know. And, you know, at this point, I would kind of put the over under it. I put the over under at 50 because salaries are increasing and that still doesn't put him in the top. You know, he doesn't put him at the very top. So he's going to get paid, no question about it. And then down the line, you know, when that money kicks in on the salary cap, it won't be next year, not the big money anyway, and probably not the year after that. At some point, you know, that will probably coincide with the time when some of the high-priced veteran players on the 49ers are, it's time for them to move on and other young players will come in.
Matt, who do you think is actually playing and missing for this game on the San Fran side?
I think that Debo Samuel will play, George Kittle will play, and then you know, Christian McCaffrey remains on injured reserve. He will not play. I don't think Juwan Jennings will play. And then, of course, on the defensive side, Dre Greenlaw, he's on injured reserve or PUP, so he won't play either. So if in the second half of that game against Kansas City, Juwan Jennings, who when he started in place of Debo Samuel when he was injured for a couple of games, in two games he became like, you know, the top three wide receiver in the league as far as yards receiving. So he's been out. For this would be his second game, assuming that he's out. And I think he will be. Debo Samuel played four snaps. He had pneumonia, ended up going into the hospital for two nights. Not quite, you know, jury duty, you know, mind you, but still, you know, he was unavailable. And then Brandon Ayuk sustained a torn ACL and MCL right before halftime. So they played the second half of that game without any of their top three wide receiver. So that meant Ricky Pearsall, their first round draft pick, who, as you know, was shot in the chest on August 31st. 50 days later, he was activated. They expected to play him, yeah, maybe like 15 to 20 snaps. He ended up playing 76% of the Frere's offensive snaps. Wow. Because they had no other choice. So they were shorthanded in that game against Kansas City. And, you know, the loss of McCaffrey certainly helps, hurts them tremendously. They're hoping to get him back after the bye week. But still, you know, even with the guys missing, it just hasn't seemed right. You know, the offense isn't clicking the way this offense has usually clicked this time of year.
Matt Maiocco from NBC Sports Bay Area joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Matt, so Dallas sitting at 3-3, the discussion in the last couple weeks has been, well, you are what your record says you are. And I think a lot of people in Dallas feel like that's not an accurate portrayal of Dallas. They're not even a 3-3 team. There's something below that. They're in San Francisco. What is the sentiment or the feeling about that 3-4 49ers team? Is it, yep, this about matches up with what we've seen? Or is the thought that, no, they really should be in a position to have a better record right now, and that's not totally reflective of what they've done?
Well, I would say, you know, kind of both, is that they are 3-4, and that's what they've looked like. They've looked like a below 500 team. They just have had so many inadequacies in every facet of the game. You know, the offense, they just can't score when they get into the red zone. They went from being the best touchdown scoring team in the red zone last year to this year being among the worst. And that's kind of, I was almost going to say it was inexplicable how they've dropped. But I hate to keep bringing up Christian McCaffrey, but that's a guy that scored 18 touchdowns in the red zone last year, and he did it running the ball. He did it catching passes out of the backfield. And then probably more importantly for the 49ers offense, you could say just having him out there draws coverage. I mean, he draws two defenders anywhere he goes, so that opens things up for other guys. So it's been offense, defense hasn't gotten off the field on third downs, a defense that was supposed to be, you know, one of the bright spots of the team, kind of carry the team, has been simply middle of the pack. They're just middle of the pack, very average defense. And then special teams has been an absolute disaster with a major blunder or two or three in, I think, every game except for the opener. So when you say, you know, 3-4, is that indicative of who they are? Absolutely. Now, the other side of that is they shouldn't be 3-4. They got a much better team than that. So, you know, they should probably be 5-2. At this point, they, you know, the game against the Vikings where they could have won, but not really. So that's a loss. And then the game against Kansas City where they were just kind of, they were outclassed in that game. So this is a team that should be 5-2. The two games that they lost that they are beating themselves over the head about, they had a big second half lead against Arizona. They had a big second half lead against the Rams, and they let those things get away and they lost those division games.
Matt, I want to ask you about Kyle Shanahan, because I saw this tweet about, you know, Brock Purdy talking about audibles and they don't really audible because everything's baked in, yada, yada, yada. And I went to the comments and it is nothing but Niner fans saying, and y'all call Kyle a genius and this is the same BS we've been talking about for years. Are there cracks with Kyle and the fan base?
You know, it seems that way. Anecdotally, I would say yes. I have a difficult time kind of separating reality from social media comments. But I mean, the people who are just now learning that, you know, this isn't a system based on audibles are, you know, have they been 20 years behind the times? I mean, he didn't have audibles with Houston, with name every Atlanta. Spot, you know, Washington, yeah. Atlanta. Yeah. So the offense is not the problem. Audibles are not the problem. There are part of this system. It's why 18 teams in the league or something crazy are running some version of this offense. The quarterback has all the answers baked into the play. And so, you know, he has his hots. He has all the contingencies in the play. So it takes a lot off the plate of the quarterback to get to the line of scrimmage and not have to think about audibles. It's all part of the system. And, you know, the system has been successful. And the reason the 49ers are struggling in the red zone isn't because they need to put more on the plate of the quarterback and just invent stuff and change their offense entirely. So I guess I don't get that. There's just a faction of fans, I think, that will just look for anything. Has Kyle Shanahan won the big one? Obviously not. Have they blown some big high profile games? Absolutely. And that goes back to the Super Bowl with the Falcons when he was the offensive coordinator. But are they, you know, you ask probably, you know, you ask 31 other, you know, defensive coaches or people around the league on a short list of play designers, systems, everything else, I would imagine that Kyle Shanahan is very, very high up on that list of offensive minds and how it's perceived or how he's perceived around the NFL.
Matt, what's your feeling on the game? I had a really hard time with it. Do you feel like the Cowboys can get out of their mess here, that San Fran is as susceptible as they've been versus Dallas over the years? Or is that aura of invincibility and just dominance and toughness going to play out again Sunday night?
I just don't sense right now that the 49ers have that aura of invincibility. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's been a weird season. You know, it started really at the Super Bowl when, you know, Dre Greenlaw's leaving the sideline and tears his Achilles. It carries over into the offseason where, you know, McCaffrey was working on a contract behind the scenes. So that wasn't a big story, but Trent Williams holds out, Brandon Ayuk holds in, then McCaffrey gets injured and, oh, it's going to be 2 weeks. And then, you know, opening night comes along and he's inactive and hasn't played yet. And then, you know, the Pearsall incident that I talked about. I just kind of felt like watching training camp, it wasn't the same juice that they'd brought in the past. I think it is, you know, people talk about the Super Bowl hangover. I think it's real. And not only the Super Bowl hangover, you're talking about a team that for three consecutive years played three high leverage postseason games every season. And so you're talking about a shortened off season. You're talking about each one of those seasons ended in extreme disappointment. I don't know, man. I just think that it's been a weird year. So I'm not saying the 49ers can't turn it around. I'm not saying that they can't turn it around on Sunday night, but I have no idea what to expect from the 49ers. Probably like you have no idea what to expect from the Dallas Cowboys. Now I will say this. I mean, I think this is a huge game for both teams, you know, for Dallas, in a tougher division as far as the top goes. I mean, they cannot fall behind by, what would they fall behind by, two or three games, you know, potentially if they lose this game. For the 49ers, it makes a huge difference, I think, psychologically, whether they head into the bye week with a 4-4 record or a 3-5 record. Even if they're 3-5, I don't think Seattle's running away with the division. They'll probably lose Sunday to Buffalo, but it just, I don't know. It's had a weird feel to it this season with the 49ers.
I'll compliment you first and then insult you. That looks like a very nice background. RJ, what do you think that is out there? Is that a patio? I mean, that looks...
It does look like a patio. Is that... I don't know what that pattern is called in the wood.
Looks good, Matt. And then screw you for what looks like cold weather that you're enjoying while we got 90 out here.
90's great.
Well, you know what? I'm a California wimp. It's probably like 60... My guess is like 65 degrees.
That's not making it any better.
Oh!
But it's, you know, the sun hasn't come up yet. I haven't seen the sun yet, but just kind of out of reflex, I wake up because you guys caught me within like, you know, 20 minutes. I set the alarm for 7 o'clock my time.
I just
automatically put on the hoodie and climb in here in front of the camera.
Just like us at work every day. Yep. Thank you so much, man. You're the best. Enjoy the game.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Matt Maiocco from NBC here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's crosstalk a Mavs Clay crosstalk from Buffalo Wild Wings and Grand Prairie with KMC next.